Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Revelation, which I've entitled this study, The Unveiling. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, the establishment of world power. Let's just take a moment as we begin to look at these verses. Let's just take a moment and go back and review the war in heaven for just a moment. Chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 and verse 12. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And in verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." How does Satan operate on earth? How does he do that? He's now been cast to the earth. How does he operate on earth? Well, a federation of governments and a worldwide religion. Those two combined. A federation of governments and a worldwide religion. Consider for a moment with me this first beast from the sea. His appearance, his acclaim, his activity, and his authority. We were introduced to him briefly back in chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, "When they finish their testimony," speaking of the two witnesses, "the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them." First thing we want to look at when talking about this beast is his appearance. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." Most scholars interpret the sand as the multitudes, and the sea as representing unrest and turmoil, and basically a dictator usually rises to power in this manner. There's unrest and there's turmoil among the multitudes of the people, and that is just the perfect setting for a dictator to rise up and take over. It says seven heads with a blasphemous name on them and ten horns with crowns. The beast is a kingdom. Ten horns equal ten kings, a confederation. Chapter 17 and verse 12 says, "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beasts." The seven heads equals the seven hills of a city, a center of power. Rome, maybe? That's traditionally thought as what it could be. Chapter 17 again in verse 9. It says, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." So the beast is a kingdom. Second, the beast is a man. Seven Roman rulers, of which he is the last. So not only a kingdom, but also an individual ruler. Roman emperors declaring themselves to be God. I mean, that's what they did. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. He, referring to the Antichrist, opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, just as the Roman emperors believed they were gods and they were placed there from the skies. His appearance, overall his appearance was like a leopard with feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. Well, what does that depict? Well, it depicts speed. It depicts strength and brutality in one single unit. Daniel chapter 7 is a reference to this. The revived Roman Empire, yet only a tool of the real ruler. It says the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So this world ruler is totally sold out to Satan. He's just a puppet for Satan. So first of all, his appearance. But second, his acclaim. Look at verses 3 and 4. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Why such popularity? Well, he was mortally wounded, and he was healed. It was all about death and resurrection. So the whole world, because of this event, stands in awe of him. How do people view him? Well, unique. Who is like the beast and invincible? Who is able to make war with him? So he's presented just as this special person who was killed and came back to life again. And he's powerful. Nobody's going to be able to beat him. And then third is activity. Look at verses 5 through verse 7. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. The beast's activity is blasphemy, there's the religious part of it, and war, that's the political part of it. A political leader who also controls religion. He blasphemes God. He blasphemes God's tabernacle. He blasphemes God's saints in heaven. Notice the power given to him in verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Just always remember, never forget, the enemy's power is granted and it's limited. This is critical in interpreting life's events. God controls everything, and yet he allows Satan to operate, who in turn delegates that power to his angels, the demons. And there is quite an organizational structure. How do we know? Well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 describes it to us. Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Okay. Oh, but then he describes it. "But against principalities." That's areas of jurisdiction. "Against powers." That's those who have rule. "Against the rulers of the darkness of this age." "Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So the authority structures here on earth, the rulers of this earth, are empowered by the enemy, and there is wickedness going on in heaven. This is all going on. And then fourth, his authority. Look at verse 7, the second part of it, down to verse 10. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What's the extent of the beast's authority? That's it. Every person on this planet at that moment, except those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pay attention to the end of the authority in verse 10. There's a reason for patience in problems. Verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Retribution is an important principle in God's plan and judgment. No matter how evil people are, no matter how powerful, when God's purposes are finished, they are all punished. You have a great day.